Well, before we pray, let's look into the scriptures this evening. Strengthen our hearts there. We're tonight going over to the book of Romans, the 13th chapter. So if you would, join me there in Romans 13. We're going to be in the end of the chapter, which is not so much about earthly governments like the beginning of the chapter, but more like the heavenly governments, which is the subject here towards the end. So our reading begins in verse 11 of Romans 13. "And this do, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts." Now, if you love the Bible's message, and I believe that you must because here you are on a Wednesday night, well, then surely it has come to you, and sometimes even with power, that you love the way the Bible states it. You love the way it says and delivers its message. For example, one message of the scriptures is that God is love. And everybody knows that. Wonderful three-word sentence, but think of how it says it in so many ways and so many places. But we were here recently, we are the bride of Christ. And what it's telling us is that the Lord looks upon us with a tender affection, with a jealous care, with great self-sacrificing love. And so to say God is love almost is an abstraction, but when it gives this metaphor and it says that we're the bride of Christ, somehow it comes more poignantly down into our hearts, doesn't it? And the message of the scripture again is that God is near to us. He's very near. Well, how about the way that it says it, that we are the temple of the living God, or we are the temple of the Holy Spirit? That means that he is as near to us as the holy place was to the Holy of Holies. There's just a curtain between, right? God was there. He filled it. And Paul is bold when he says that bold but accurate, we are the temple of the Spirit of God. So God is near. Bless him. Bless the Lord for this. He is near. And sometimes glory just fills your soul, doesn't it? One message of the scriptures is that God is watching over us, and we thank him for that. That is, it's one of the main themes in the book of Revelation. He's watching over his people. He is caring for them. He is protecting them. And that's very encouraging. But last week we saw that Paul said, we are God's field. And all you have to do to get some idea of what that means is take yourself back in thought to Boaz's field and how he doted over that, how he knew which part was his and which part wasn't, how he cared for it, how he was working all the grain, and how he was seeing his future bride right there in his field. And so the scripture says that God is watching over us, and it gives us this beautiful little homey picture that we are his field. Well, what's the message of our passage tonight? There's several things here, but I like this thought, and this goes hand in hand with what our Lord says, that he is coming soon. The message is Jesus is soon coming. And how does it say it? It says it this way: the hour is already. It's already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now, salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. That's how mine says it, and I checked a number of different versions, and it says when we first believed. Do you have it? Anybody have when we first believed? Okay. No? Yeah. Or this, the night is almost gone, and the day is near, or the day is at hand. What is he saying here? How is it putting it for us? The coming of our Lord Jesus is, think of it in this way first. It is as certain as the sunrise. Now, one of the good things about getting up early in the morning is beating the sun, if you will, getting up before the sun rises. And then you get to watch, and it happens every day, every day, every day. There's the gradual increase of light, starting in the east, going off towards the west. You know how sunrises work. Sometimes there's deep color, sometimes it's just clear. Sometimes you hear the birds singing, sometimes the gentle waft of a breeze. But it happens every day that there is a day. And what is he saying here? Salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone. It's saying for us that all this long expanse of our Christian experience has been going on, as it were, at night. This world has been plunged into the night of sin, and there's darkness everywhere, isn't there? And you just, I don't need to prove that to you. The morning paper will, the evening, go scrolling through your newsfeed, it will tell you this with capital letters, that this world is a dark place. And right in the midst of that, salvation has come to the people of God, and then they're told this night will not last forever. The night is not the predominating force. Darkness is not the end all that is to be the story of this weary world. Day is coming. Day is coming. You remember that passage in Isaiah, oh watchman, how far gone is the night? Morning comes. Morning comes, he says. And it's as certain as the sunrise, the coming of our Lord. And it is as certainly for us that he is coming. Let me read to you what Paul wrote to another congregation. And he put it to them like this. Those who sleep, do their sleeping at night. Those who get drunk at night. These are characteristics of nighttime. But since, listen, we are of the day. Daytime has dawned upon us, hasn't it? The day has appeared. The day star has risen in our hearts, anticipating the great day that's coming, but it has happened for the people of God spiritually. We are of the day. And so we can be sober, and we can put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath. Why? Because we're of the day. The sunrise from on high has visited his people, and he has called them by name and drawn them out. And so when we say Jesus is soon coming, we say Jesus is soon coming for me and for you, for all of his people. He is coming for his own. Now, the next thing we should say about this, Jesus is soon coming. We could say it is going to be the day of his presence. Let me read to you a couple of other places in the scripture. Jeff has taken this here recently, but one of them is over there in John chapter 8. And it says here in that place that Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So what is he saying? He's saying that he is that sunrise, and that as he was here and shining upon individuals, light was coming to them. The day star was dawning upon them, and he was rising in their hearts and minds with truth and glory. Now, he puts it in the next chapter like this. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. And I like this. While I am in the world, I'm the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And so whether it is in his second coming, when he dawns upon us with the majesty of his presence, or when he comes to us in his first coming, in his humility, in his lowliness, in his condescension, he is still, is he not, always the light of the world. And wherever he is, there's light. This gives me a little grasp, a little further grasp on what revival would be like. Don't you think it is the presence of Christ among his people, and he is light. It's like that sun that you saw coming up, rising in the east, and he dawns upon his people with power and glory, and you have that expression, the day of his power. You never read of the night of his power, do you? You read of the day of his power. The light that comes with the coming of Jesus. And the prodigal comes back. The drunkard is made sober. The profligate is made clean. God does these glorious things in the midst of the earth. And you could just say, the light has dawned upon us. We are rehearsing some of these things this morning. Sailors coming into port where there was a moving of God's Spirit in some port town, and they could get within a certain radius of the docks, and the sailors would all come under conviction and fall on their knees and begin crying out to God for mercy. And you think, how do you explain that? There was no preacher there. There was the power of his presence. There was the light of his glory shining upon this poor town. And even sailors coming in could feel it. There was a zone that they would begin to sense, and they would know conviction of sin and righteousness and judgment. The day of his presence, he is coming, and it will be like this. For the people of God, I believe he will come with healing in his wings, and there will be a sense of preparation. And I trust and pray that we'll be made ready for this grand and glorious and terrible day when he steps out of the heavens again and all eyes see him. It will be the day because he is there. But now back in Romans, now look at look at our verses again. And this is something that we can walk in even now. This daylight. This is the light has dawned upon us. The glory of that has come into our very souls. And it is something that we can walk in now. We can predate this, as it were. Or is that the way to say it? We could experience this before the great day. You fill in the word. Paul says, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. He is saying that these Christians themselves had been perhaps a bit slumbering, a bit sleepy, and a bit groggy in their understanding of things. But it says that we do not have to stay caught in darkness. No. We can awaken from sleep because salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day is near. Let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing. And you sort of start getting a picture of a purified people walking in a way that's, in a way, reminiscent of what the glory will be like when Christ brings his people before his Father's throne. And there will be none of this and none of that and none of the other, but there will be light and glory and immortality and honor. And so he says, and just like that, let's behave properly as in the day. Let us walk now as we will walk when Christ appears. Let us behave ourselves even now as those to whom Jesus is going to dawn upon us afresh and anew. So we can walk in this now. Jeff used to use a phrase, I used to like it to listening to him. He loved it and he would say it as many times as he could. It wasn't original, it was something that he gleaned from reading, but it's good, you ought to write it down. It's the phrase is the presence of the future. You heard that? You heard Jeff say it over and again? The presence of the future. This is what you see here. This is what Paul is urging upon these people that have just been dug out of Gentile darkness and heathen wickedness and right there in the capital city of the empire. And he says, now while you're there and while you're working for this so-and-so and you're working for that so-and-so and they're not God-loving and honoring people, but you can put off from yourself all that pertains to darkness and uncleanness, and you can walk in light. So, as a people that are ready for the coming of the Lord. So Jesus is soon coming is the message. And there is the exhortation to be ready for him. There is the exhortation to walk as he walked. There is the exhortation to look for this and expect it, because it will soon appear. Oh, friends, you know, we could say things and just say, well, Jesus is soon coming, and we could nod and say, that's right. Or we could say this, salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day is near. Let's pray.